Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Greetings from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the April 16th, 2011 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, welcome aboard for another week of talk about your space program. Our space program has made quite the news this past week as we've celebrated the 30th anniversary of the space shuttle program. 50 years of human spaceflight, going back to Yuri Gagarin, becoming the first man to fly in space and circling the Earth way back in 1961. A lot of news about space, a lot of talk this week about where we've been and where we're going, and I think it's all been pretty good talk. Of course, the biggest news for all of us, quite a week for us here, especially on the Space Coast, as NASA Administrator Charlie Bolden announced his decision as to where our space shuttle orbiters would be retired to when they're done flying. Discovery already done. Endeavor next up, Atlantis sometime this summer. The decision by Mr. Bolden and reaction to it and our local plans for what we need to do with Atlantis now moving ahead is going to occupy most of today's program. Our special guest in honor of this big decision this week, Bill Moore, the Chief Operating Officer for the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, will join us a little bit later in the program, and we'll talk about Atlantis and our just the whole story of how it all came to be and plans for moving ahead and what it will look like on display here and when we'll all get a chance to see it. What did you think of the decision this week, and what have you been hearing since then? What do you think about all the talk coming from our friends in Texas and Ohio and other points not so happy with the decision? Did Administrator Bolden make the right pick? What do you think? Would love to have you be a part of today's program as we talk about this, you and I in the first segment, and with Mr. Moore from the Visitor Complex throughout the rest of the program. As always, join us by phone. Give us a call. 321 is the area code. So no matter where you are in the country, there you go. 321-768-1240, the number right here in Melbourne to get to the studio. If you're a local AT&T wireless customer in Florida Space Coast, just punch in star 1240 on your keypad, and that'll get you here into the studio as well, a free phone call for you. If you're more comfortable with email, as always, we're keeping an eye on our AOL site here. spacetalking@AOL.com is the email address. So let's get into it, and I'll be happy to share with you in the next few minutes some of my opinions about all of this. Let's see if I can't make it coherent for you. There were eight variables involved in this decision, four vehicles and four locations. And in my prediction, I got three out of the eight correct. Not too good, but as my wife was quick to point out to me just this morning, I shouldn't feel so bad about it, because by making so many wrong picks, because after all, I am a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, so it's kind of in my nature to pick the losers, I guess. I don't know. I had said last week and for some time, my draft lineup was Discovery would go to the Air and Space Museum, and I got that absolutely correct. Of course, that was a no-brainer because it had been announced so long ago. I had said that Endeavor would stay here at the Kennedy Space Center, Atlantis would go to the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio, and Enterprise, the prototype orbiter that did the drop flights over Edwards, California, way back when in the 70s, would go to the Seattle's Museum of Flight, which is just an I've never been there, but I understand it is an outstanding facility for showcasing the history of air flight, obviously directly tied to Boeing and its legacy there in the Seattle area. What we got, I think, was not a bad mix. If you're not going to go the way that I suggested, I think that that the way that Charlie Bolden went does work in its own way. Discovery going to the Air and Space Museum, again, continues to be the no-brainer. It is the most flown orbiter. It is the workhorse. It is the most historic, if you will, of the four remaining craft that we have with us, and that belongs in the Air and Space Museum. Atlantis coming here makes sense if we're not going to get Endeavour, especially if you're going to put Endeavour out in California. And I look at it from the perspective of the kind of stories that we can tell. We had kind of, you know, if you were going to put Atlantis to the Air Force Museum, Atlantis had the most DOD flights, the most Defense Department flights of all the orbiters. And so it would have made sense to go to the Air Force Museum. Their story is easy to tell there because of that. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to have a whole bunch of just a military display here at the Cape, of course. There were plenty of other historic flights. You know, I mean, any one of these orbiters are good for historic flights. But lots of other stories to tell about Atlantis. But if you're going to keep Atlantis here and send Endeavour out to California to be near the area where the orbiter parts were built in the first place, in a way, to me, that makes sense. Because if you will recall, Endeavour, built after the Challenger accident, was built from the major structural spare parts that were built in the early part of the program to serve as a just-in-case. And all those parts sat out there in Downey for so long, and then parts in Downey, parts in Palmdale, California, and, of course, you know, the whole Edwards Air Force Base, the whole mystique of the aerospace Southern California. Now, I know a lot of the aerospace stuff has gone away in Southern California, and the Science Museum there, not as well known for having the kind of displays and all that, but I think if you put this orbiter there, you put it in a place where a lot of people can see it, an international audience can see it, and it being close to Downey and Palmdale, relatively close to Palmdale, I mean 70 miles away, but generally in the same region of the state, that makes sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me, and I think Charlie probably made the right call there. Sending Enterprise to New York City, the only part about that that bothers me is that I really felt like the Midwest deserved to have something. If you wanted to be regional about things, you know, you could consider that the Air and Space Museum was the Northeast end. We're in the Southeast. You put something out in the West, and then you put something in the Midwest. I never for once now and by the way, if you're going to put Enterprise anywhere but the Museum of Flight, the Intrepid Museum makes sense to me, too. Not necessarily because New York is this grand space state, but just by the virtue of the number of people that will see that thing and be exposed to the story about spaceflight. Because this has to be not about politics. This has got to be not about awarding people a reward for anything. And even here at Kennedy Space Center, if we hadn't gotten one, yes, I'd be upset. But we have the ability to tell the story to a large audience that comes here routinely from around the world. And New York has that same opportunity. Los Angeles has that same opportunity. Now, let's talk about Texas for a minute. Texas, yes, Johnson Space Center is the home of the space shuttle program, literally, home of the astronauts, the place where, you know, I mean, Texas does have a space shuttle on their license plate. They gave it some kind of notice. But if you want a grand, excellent place to go spend your money and see a site and get into the space tourism, or as a space tourist, go in and see the story of NASA, that Space Center Houston doesn't do it for me. It never has. I've always been disappointed in that museum. It's a grand thing for what it is, a nice field trip for the kids, but it is not the destination site for a space shuttle. And I still believe that. You got Congress reacting to it negatively. Maybe we'll get into that as the program progresses. In the meantime, we'll take a break right now. When we get back, we'll be joined by Bill Moore from the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. Plus, your questions and comments along the way. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. You're also listening to WMMB.
And now, back to Space Talk on WMMB.
And indeed, welcome back to Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Behnke. And let me just, before we bring on our guest, I just wanted to make one thing clear, and it's completely my opinion personally, but I am so frustrated by reading about these congressmen and these senators from these other states who didn't get an orbiter, who have nothing but, they're just sore losers is what it comes down to. There's no other way to put it. And yes, I can sit here, we got one, that's great. And no one's complaining about us getting one, that's fine, let's leave it be. But let's leave it be, okay? I even saw this morning that that our own Congress representatives, Posey and Adams, were signing on board with some of this legislation to look into this decision-making and maybe rethink it and try to make things happen legislatively. Drop it. Just drop it. It's done with. The decision is made. Okay, if you guys in Congress are going to spend any time talking about our space program and decisions that need to be made, let's talk about moving forward. Let's talk about increasing the budget. Let's talk about giving NASA direction. Let's talk about giving NASA the money it needs to do the job you're telling them to do it. And stop asking them to do more with not enough money to be able to do what you've asked them to do. And now you're second-guessing your NASA administrator. If you don't have confidence in him, then do something about it. But don't waste any time on this penny-ante stuff right now. It's done with. Okay, let's put this program to bed. Let's celebrate it. Let's respect it. Let's honor it. Let's let as many Americans and people from around the world see the legacy that is the Space Shuttle program by allowing it to be put on display at places in this country that people can come and see it. The people do come. You come to New York City, you come to Central Florida, you come to Los Angeles. If there aren't three biggest destination sites for tourism around the world, I don't know what is. So let's move on, okay? Let's stop talking about it and stop hand-wringing and stop playing this like it's another Super Bowl, like it's some big game. It's just absolutely the worst in what we believe about our legislators, what we believe about our lawmakers. Is to me anyway, surfacing in all of this talk here in the fallout of the decision that that Charlie Bolton made, and you know, just prayers and guts to him for making the decision and having to put up with what he has to put up with. Strength, no doubt about it. Okay, let's celebrate though, because we got a great deal here and we got a great thing for us, and this is going to be wonderful, and we've got a story to tell, and we've got some time to put it together. And so now let's talk about how this came about here. Let's talk about where we're going with all of this. To help us do that as we celebrate this decision, really, I want to bring on board the Chief Operating Officer of the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, Delaware North, the company that has the contract to run the visitor complex for NASA. He's the top guy there, Mr. Bill Moore, our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jim, how you doing this afternoon? Thank you so much.
Good. Well, I'm just going to take a deep breath and calm down now. It has been quite a week, hasn't it?
It has been. I don't remember a week like this ever. It's been a lot of roller coaster of emotions, of course, and really, you know, it's been deep emotions, too, because you're just so honored to have the privilege of knowing that Atlantis will come home here to Kennedy for the rest of her days on this earth, and that's quite an honor to be part of that.
It truly is, and I think... Of all the fun thing, let's just get this right out of the way. How was the cake? I don't think people understand what you did out there. And tell them real quick about the cake.
Yeah, you know, I had never seen the show very much. It has a little different demographic than I fit in, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
But, boy, what a huge hit it was. I quickly learned how much following of the cake there was, and then the whole process, and then to see it come out, and what a tribute to the space workers and all the people that support the shuttle program, and then a little pyro there at the end, and up it goes, and then everybody got to eat it, so that was very cool.
You just start slicing it from the top and work your way down?
Well, a little bit of that. It was tough in the sunshine. One of the things we learned is that cake and icing and sunshine don't go together that well, but it was a great, it made for a really fitting way to sort of bring that event to a close for the day.
Well, let's go back in time now and just spend just a few minutes talking about what this community did and really how it came together and came together to support this as a community. Talk a little bit about how this came about in the last couple of years.
Well, you know, the process actually started before I was fortunate enough to be here back in 08, and I think both community officials and local political types and everybody got involved, and really the first meeting I remember coming to even before I was started officially here was a huge support group, some former astronauts, some former center directors, and community leaders, and everybody, all on the same page. So, this community and this county and all those folks on the Space Coast really come together when they need to, and they knew this was going to be an important decision. They knew they had to put together the right effort, and while we took a different tack than others did in that process, and there were some, newspaper journalists and whatnot that thought we should have done more, the social media and other kinds of things. At the end of the day, this group thought that with the right proposal and the right energy, it would work, and it came out great in our favor. So hats off to everybody for pulling together for this is going to be an amazing for the Space Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. I know having been involved in the process along the way, I know that there were times I'd get nervous about other people doing something, and you worry about the total plan but really, as things came together and as different people kind of, they made a little noise and then they did something about it, which was really nice to see, it did work out. It did show that we were out there and we weren't necessarily doing the giant fundraising or the big splashy things. I know New York, the Intrepid Museum did, and I got to give them credit for what they did do. I didn't give them any hope of getting one. Even up until Tuesday, and to see that they got that, I think they really made an impression upon NASA and upon Charlie Bolden, and you saw how that kind of stuff would work. But back here, it was a lot of behind the scenes. It was Florida memorials. I guess you have to call them memorials. What's the other word they use all the time?
Well, we talk about displays and we talk about artifacts and those kind of things, but it's really a celebration of a program. And I think when we get Atlantis back and the crews, talking to the commander, that he's ready to take Atlantis up the last time with a little bit smaller crew and, do what these shuttles have done so amazingly for over 30 years now, and then bring it back home and get the NASA guys that take care of these birds to get them cleaned up and detoxified so that regular folks can be around them, and then bring them over into display. It's going to be, I think last week was hard and exciting and challenging, but the work ahead just gets started now.
And we're going to get more into that after our break, but in the next minute that we've got left here, Bill, talk a little bit about, give John McBride some attaboys there, because I know that he was really your go-to guy within your own team for rallying all this together.
Yeah, John's been a great, a tremendous asset to us, and it turned out to be a good friend. When you talk to an astronaut, you spend most of your time in awe, and for all the right reasons. I mean, I just came out of dine with an astronaut a minute ago, and another astronaut's there doing their thing and talking about to our guest about their experience from the space station, but John really worked very, very hard. He had experience in Washington, and he had experience with being an astronaut. And he knows NASA very good. And he was the calm voice in the middle of a really tough storm about which way to go. And when we got off track at times and sort of where we were going to go and how we're going to win, John was the guy that brought us back. So he deserves all the credit in the world. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Veteran shuttle astronaut working for you direct. I think it was a really great idea to bring him on board. Talk about real quick the reaction within your own corporation. Delaware North, of course, has the contract to run the visitor complex, and it's not necessarily known as a space company. You know how to put on events and sell T-shirts and hot dogs.
Well, we do. There's certainly the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex contract is a one-time thing for us. We don't have a lot of those, but the winning of the new contract has opened up some doors, and certainly this shuttle Atlantis being based here now is going to open up some new doors. So we're excited. We were privileged to have one of our third-generation owners here came down. President of our company was here. The president of our division was here. We had a great photo moment with Bob Cabana at the end of the day, and the smiles were huge, and everybody looked at that photo and said, that encapsulates what we were feeling that afternoon.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and it was quite a ceremony to be out at the OPF for that, and some great film and stuff, and then to go back to your back to your complex, I guess, for the cake. And just to make the cake thing clear, I'm not sure we set it up right, but and I forget the name of the show, too, because it's not my demographic, but the famous cake-offs that you see, they put together these giant cakes, and there was this giant cake of the space shuttle fully stacked with solid rocket boosters and an external tank. And then, lo and behold, it actually belched out flame underneath it
at one point. I think it's called the Cake Boss, and this family from up in the Northeast, a lot of them are involved in the show. And, you know, it's not a cake that – it wasn't a fake cake. They make it and build it and bring it out. And a big orange external tank that they brought and the white SRBs on either side, of course, and the shuttle looked great. And then we had some challenges working out how we're going to do pyrotechnics in front of people and be safe. But you know, again, it's one of those teamwork deals. NASA did their thing, the cake guys did theirs, and it all came off great.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike Leinbach had to fill out a piece of paper somewhere for launching that thing.
I'm sure.
Well, look, Bill, stand by just for a moment here, okay? We're going to hit our 5-minute built-in hold at the bottom of the hour here as we take a break and get up, caught up on the latest news, all the weather, the sports, what's going on around the world. And when we return, we will continue our chat with Bill Moore from the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex as we celebrate the awarding of Atlantis to our space coast forever and ever. It's got one more flight to go. Space Talk brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Banky.
And welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by Space Florida. Committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, we continue to discuss the awarding of Space Shuttle Atlantis to the Kennedy Space Center for permanent display following its final mission. That flight due in June right now. And joining us on the phone is the Chief Operating Officer of the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, Bill Moore. Bill, what does NASA tell us today about what that timeline looks like for the launch and landing in late June, and then when do we get our hands on this thing?
Well, I think, Jim, we're still learning that. Great question. We actually have some meetings in the coming week, as you might imagine, meeting city after the award. So we have a lot of interface that NASA setting up, I think, not only for here but for other locations just to go through the process and requirements. There's a fair amount of legal work that goes through as well. We know that Discovery's in the process of being safed is the NASA term for what they do. And the next phase is really called making the shuttle display ready, which is a different. The shuttle, as I understand, gets deconstructed a little bit to get it all cleaned up and ready to go and be safe. And then those of us that are fortunate enough to be able to display one need to have, the external view that people are used to seeing in space and on liftoff and then coming back to Kennedy most times, that we want to put all those fairings and parts and whatnot back on so that it looks great. And we have had, some brief discussions. We'd like to have our shuttle, if it picks up a mark or two on the tiles, we want to leave those as is. I think that's indicative of the hard work that goes to get the shuttles into orbit and back. And then, of course, it comes back from space a little dirty. It's all the flame and entry and whatnot leaves a few marks, and we want those to stay on because we want our visitors to really appreciate what a shuttle looks like. But we're looking at a process between building the building and getting the shuttle ready. That we would be ready to go by about the summer of 2013.
About 2013. Now, at some point along the lines, and I don't know whether it was a conversation, I don't remember even who I had the conversation with, frankly, but there was talk at one point, maybe briefly, Bill, maybe it was just a rumor, maybe I dreamt it, but that you might put it in an OPF, in a hangar temporarily while you built something out here, make that another stop along the way. Is anything going to become of that idea?
Well, your memory's very good. That was the original intent. It was exactly to do that and to put it on display, potentially in an OPF, and then go from there. But as from the changes that NASA's going through, the OPFs have become more interesting to different other folks. in the commercial world, and so right. I think the OPEFs are going to be busier sooner than anticipated. So it changed our timetable around, but our original plan did call for use of an OPF for several years and to build the building maybe in about 8 or 9 years, and now we sort of have to have to move our timetable around, but that's okay. You'll do what you need to do to host an orbital, that's for sure.
That's right. Have we gotten as far as worrying about towing it from there to here and clearances and pulling poles down and making a parade out of it? Boy, there's all sorts of things we got to think about.
Absolutely, and we are starting to think about those. We are asking the shuttle folks lots of questions about how you move a shuttle, and we know that towing it is an option, but there's these wonderful guard checks that are kind of in the way, and there are some devices, of course, that can lift a shuttle in different ways, and we're exploring which one of those are portable and which one of those could be used. I think there are going to be a few light poles that kind of need to be get arranged, but I do think, Jim, seriously, that when we move the shuttle, it ought to be a day of celebration. It ought to be a day of fond memories for a wonderful program. Paying our respects to those of that paid the ultimate price during this program, and thanking all the workers and the families, because this is not about the visitor complex. It is really, certainly for the Space Coast, but really for the state of Florida. I mean, this puts us. Where we want to be, it reminds people of what Kennedy has done for so many years, and we're just so honored to have the privilege.
Well, I know, and you worry about the bottom line, and we all worry about the number of guests coming here. We worry about when space shuttles stop flying. We know there's no shortage of rockets flying from here in the near future, but we do worry about the number of people that are going to come to the Kennedy Space Center. This is going to draw people to us, if not back to us. How are you addressing all that right now? What's your general feeling on, where Delaware North, where the visitor complex is going to go from here to get to there? You got a couple of years post-shuttle plans, new programs, new exhibits. Is there anything you can share with us along those lines?
Well, we do. Part of our, as you pointed out earlier, we a new contract here, and we have a new master plan that goes with that. And that new master plan lays out a 10-year process of adding more exhibits and more facilities. We're going to move our front gate, for example, and put that in a different place, and changing around the way you walk in the property here on the main complex. We're doing a lot of things to improve the tour process. To get to go out on this impressive spaceport is really special. We want to highlight that in a much better way than we do today. Consumers are more savvy. They want more things. They're certainly growing rapidly into electronic age, so we have to accommodate that. So we're making some physical and some other kinds of changes going forward to help drive our business to have as many people come see this place as we can.
And by the way, we're going to talk some more about other things, but now that you've mentioned it, I gotta bring it up one more time in public. When does the Jim Behnke Launch Viewing Stadium get built?
That's a great question. We actually do have a site we're talking about for potential of doing that. You bring up an interesting process. As we move from not doing so many manned launches for a while, then going to unmanned launches, one of the notions is that people still like to see rockets go into space. And we're going to focus a lot on those. Certainly some of them come out of the Canaveral side and into the auspices of the 45th Space Wing, but seeing an Atlas Heavy rocket go up is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's a great sight, and I remember the Delta that went up not that many weeks ago on an afternoon, late afternoon. What a sight that was for the Space Coast to see. So we're gonna set up to do all those things that we do, and the beauty about our product here and we represent NASA, it's all real, and people really appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. And just for the record, so that those that haven't heard me explain this before, so if this idea ever does happen, I want the credit. I want the brass plate on the entry thing with my name on it.
You've been a huge help all along the way for us, and you've been a great credit. I think you carry the message and the banner, and like you listened to a little bit of your show before we came on. Some of this stuff is difficult to talk about, and it gets our blood boiling. But I think the end of the day, that's the beauty about this: that people are passionate about space, they love it, and our job is to make that connection.
Well, I want this stadium. I want this stadium, and I want it, very, very vertical and above the tree line, so that when you're even on the lowest level of the stadium, you can see any launch pad. But the beauty of this stadium, Bill, as I've explained it, is that it rotates. so that, you know, it's pointed right at the pad that we're worried about. So if it's a shuttle pad, it's pointed up here. But if it's going to be a delta pad at 37, then it can actually twist clockwise to point everybody right at 37. And you have the big displays and TVs, but that to me is the beauty. It's on a giant turntable that twists depending on what rocket launch. Forget the retractable roof, you know, then we don't need one of those. But we do need it to rotate, and I think that's the key feature. So put that in the budget. Let me know, and we'll start talking.
Yeah, you got it, Jim.
Okay, all right. Hey, let me ask you a more serious question about Atlantis. One of the questions that have come up is, why do we get Atlantis? There had been a lot of talk in our rhetoric, even published, about that we were not hoping for, but that we were asking for Endeavor. Certainly Ohio was asking for Atlantis. Discovery had already been promised to Washington. Was there a last minute thing? Was there ever a point where we were asked, which one do we want? Or were we just lucky to get what we get?
Well, we had always said, you know, we got the question a lot in the months and weeks leading up to the decision, and that was that, you know, we would take whichever shuttle. We were, you know, fairly sure always that Discovery was going to go to the Smithsonian, so that left Atlantis and Endeavor. And, you know, there was back and forth. We had certainly, you know, our current center director flew Endeavor quite a bit, and we would have been thrilled to have that connection back to him. And I think, you know, certainly Bob would have loved that. Atlantis, of course, is infamous in lots of ways. It'll be the last shuttle to fly. It was also involved in the Hubble missions to keep that wonderful space telescope going. So both vehicles had a great much history, and we ended up saying, you know what, whichever one we are fortunate enough to get, if we get one, we're happy. And now that decision's been made, we love Atlantis very much.
Yeah, Atlantis is great, and I remember the maiden flight of it watching it. I think from campus. It was a DOD flight. And I was at Embry-Riddle at the time, and I remember watching it fly over the campus. We all ran out, you know, because we knew when it had launched. But I remember the thing about, I think it was Atlantis on its maiden flight, that it launched on the very day that the schedule said it would be launched, when the metal was first cut from the contract.
Wow.
You know, that there was no delay there, and they made a big deal out of it at the time, that it hit bang on. Now, I'll have to go get all that reconfirmed, but because it's been some time. But that's what I've always remembered about Atlantis' first flight, that it was right on schedule. Of course, we didn't know anything about it at the time. It was all DOD, but good stuff nevertheless. So what's we've just got about another minute here, not even that, actually 30 seconds, Bill. What's next can we look forward to from the visitor complex in about 20 seconds?
Well, we're going to start on, you know, we've been working on the shuttle hard. We're through with concept design. We'll go right into the schematics. At the same time, we're working on a number of other master plan features. Unfortunately, it just takes a little bit of time to get the drawings done. But, you know, physically, we'll see some exciting things shortly. But this summer, we're going to do call the summer of sci-fi, and we're going to connect up the obvious interest between the summer, you know, the sci-fi connection to that of the space program. There's so many different places. I mean, there were a lot of things even on this last space mission where Commander Pate, they played Star Trek songs.
Oh, yeah.
and Leonard Nimoy called up. And so there's a lot of cool stuff there. And we're going to leverage that connection and have people come out and celebrate that this summer with us.
Bill Moore from the Visitor Complex, thank you so much. We're back in just another moment. Final break here. We'll be back. Thanks.
This is Space Talk with Jim Behnke.
Welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. Space Talk also brought to you today by the folks at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, who invite you to pick up tickets for a pair of special events coming up. May 5th is the 50th anniversary celebration of America's first astronaut to fly in space, Alan Shepard. And then on May 7th, the annual U.S. Astronaut Hall of Fame induction ceremony will take place, this year honoring veteran shuttle astronauts Carl Bobko and Susan Helms. So you can pick up tickets along with regular admission. All the details online at KennedySpaceCenter.com. Well, we were joined in the first couple segments there by Bill Moore at the Visitor Complex, and we got through the whole interview, and one thing we didn't really make clear was what the display would look like. There's still a lot working on that. There's still a lot of details to be worked out. But generally speaking, it's going to be indoors, where you walk into the room and I'm sure in a dramatic way, and you're presented with the orbiter hanging or suspended, however you want to look at it, in kind of a full scale, full size diorama, if you will. Payload bay doors open, Earth rotating beneath, like you're in space approaching it in another spacecraft. Should be spectacular, and we're looking very much forward to it. It's going to cost some money. Pat McCarthy, who is with Space Florida, Director of Spaceport Operations, might be able to help out with that. We'll see. Pat, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, Jim. Doing just fine. And the wallet is opening up, I think.
I think it's going to have to.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Space Florida. One of the things it can do, as I understand it, is to help finance things. And you've certainly done that already out at the Visitor Complex. Talk about a little history and maybe a little future.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the construction of the exhibit for Atlantis is one of those projects where we're very well going to be able to use the financial assistance that we've done in other projects. Like previously out at the Visitor Complex, we provided $40 million in conduit debt for the shuttle launch experience. And then we did about $25 million for construction of the Apollo Saturn V Center. So those are the kinds of, I'd say, untraditional things but that we've helped financing. And if you want to look at more traditional aerospace ones, we put out helped with $92 million of refinancing for the Launch Complex 41 debt for United Launch Alliance and $24 million for the Delta IV Horizontal Integration Facility out of Complex 37. So these are the kinds of things we're willing to assist aerospace companies with.
Well, and now, of course, neither you nor I are as smart about the financial end of things as, let's say, your president, Frank DiBello. But when you say providing the money or the debt conduit or whatever, let's just make it clear, you're not actually just giving them $40 million to go do something.
No, that's correct. We're helping them find the sources of funding. And if I understand it properly, the state backs the loan so that people look at the bond issue or the loan, and then they say, oh, well, this is backed by the full faith and credit of the state of Florida. So obviously, you know, the state of Florida's finances are actually in pretty decent shape when it comes to securing loans for projects. I mean, that's what our assistance would be, helping companies find the sources of funding for these things so that they can go to the banks and the capitalists and get those kinds of funds for their project.
And I think the other thing we should make clear is that I don't believe Delaware North or anybody has actually approached Space Florida yet to do this, but it is the kind of services that you routinely offer to those who do come to talk to you.
That's correct. I mean, you're going to see the same kind of money deals coming up soon when NASA announces the commercial crew delivery contracts, or at least the new next set of competitors in that in the next couple of weeks, because we've been working with all of those on incentives that the state can provide to help improve these companies' business case and encourage their operations here in the state. And this is the kind of stuff that they put into their proposal to NASA, and it helps improve their offer, their bid to NASA.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So, and how do you have any idea how fast those things turn around? Are those deals that take a year to put together?
No, so most of them we've already worked, not the details, but certainly the mechanics of how it would take place. And in some cases, like the $92 million refinancing for Complex 41, that one got turned in like 30 days. So, I mean, there's certainly ways to do things fast, and I think that a lot of the companies that are coming to the state recognize that.
And I think it's also good to note that the numbers you've been talking about are all in the same scale and range as what we're going to need for the shuttle experience. Not the shuttle experience, but the Atlantis exhibit, $28 million for this and $12, $15 million for that. I mean, that's all right in the ballpark. So.
Well, that's right. And senior management tells me that, $10 million is the same as $100 million. And I don't understand that, but I believe them when they say it. So I tell customers and potential customers, you know, ask for what you need and we'll help you find it.
I'm going to try that on my wife later today.
Okay.
See what happens. Pat, thanks for the update. That's all good news and good help. And it's going to take the whole community to put this thing together, and it's going to be great for us when it finally gets on display. So, again, thanks for those words, Pat. We'll say goodbye to you for now.
All right, and make sure to stop by spaceflorida.gov.
Very good.
Thanks, Jim.
There goes Pat McCarthy, Director of Spaceport Operations for Space Florida, our major sponsor of Space Talk. We appreciate their support. Time now, quickly, for a week at our look at our weekly launch forecast. Launch forecast brought to you every week by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, we're still tracking Space Shuttle Endeavor as the very next launch from the Cape, liftoff from Kennedy Space Center's Pad 39A, remains targeted for Friday, April 29th at 3:47 in the afternoon. That launch date holding pretty firm, things going very well out at the pad by all accounts. And my gut feeling tells me that they're gonna count down to that date and tank up and see what happens. So let's look forward to that Friday, April 29th, 3:47 is coming up quick. Also looking ahead a week later on May 6th, now not May 5th, last week it's been bumped a day now, an Atlas V rocket is scheduled to lift off May 6th from Cape Canaveral at 2:14 p.m., the United Launch Alliance. Sending the military's first space-based infrared system geosynchronous satellite. It's a whole new concept and a whole new way of doing missile early warning detection, and so we're looking forward to that as well. Some quick notes. Space station flying over tonight at 8:24. Look to the south. You'll see it move to the east, about 5 minutes long in duration. Spectacular pass. I mean, if it's clear out, you're going to see it. 8:24 tonight, and repeats basically the same thing at 8:49 tomorrow, so don't miss that. Congratulations to our friends at United Launch Alliance for Thursday night's liftoff of an Atlas V from Vandenberg Air Force Base on the West Coast. It was another National Reconnaissance Office spy satellite, launched wonderful, right on time. Congratulations also to United Launch Alliance's Vice President of Launch Operations, Jerry Jamison. Jerry is the winner of this year's National Space Club Florida Committee's Divas Award, the big dinner tonight up at the Visitor Complex. We wish Jerry and all his friends and family well as they celebrate Florida's top space honor. Well, that's it for now. Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida, and is a production of Mylas Solutions. Aaron Michaels is my personal chief engineer for Space Talk, doing the yeoman's job as always. Up next on WMMB is the Home Mortgage Law Show, so please do stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I'm Jim Bankey, and we will talk to you again real soon.